Cornucopia Radio presents.
Stop at a Winner by Justin Scott.
The starter calling for the course to be cleared.
Now, all right?
The contestants, he asked them if they're all right.
Come on,
and this looks like it, they're off. And Spitting Image on the far side is the first to show of that group, and Boomdocker on the near side with Andy Pandy and Nerio right up with him and Sam Withern and Brown Admiral.
In 1977, I was 10 years old. Every year in our house, when I was a kid, the Grand National was an event to rival Christmas. We'd get up at the crack of dawn and wait for me dad to come back from the paper shop so we could see all the runners. There was a map of the course and all the fences had names. Then we'd wait for Grandstand to come on the telly and watch all the build-up. Then, the race itself. A load of horses running at the fences. This was back in the days when the fences were higher and the fields were bigger. Until then, I'd never had a bet in it. I was too young, but I still watched the race. So this year, 1977, I pestered me dad to let me have a bet in it. I didn't have any money, so he gave me a few chores to do. I'd fill the coal bucket or nip to the shop for 10 Park Drive, back in the days when a 10-year-old could buy fags from a shop. Eventually, 2p here, 5p there, I'd managed to get 40p together so I could have a bet. At the time, I used to watch a TV show called Andy Pandy. I'm looking down the list of horses, and there's this horse running called Andy Pandy. So that was my horse, my very first bet. Andy Pandy for the 1977 Grand National. My dad went down and put the bet on. I can't remember what price it was, but all I know is that my money's on it. So, we all settled down to watch this race. It was exciting as all those horses charged to the first fence. And this Andy Pandy's in front, and he stays there all the way to Beecher's the second time around. And then the horse unseats its jockey. But the horse didn't fall, it just kept on running, jumping the fences, so I thought I still had a bet. Come the winning post, this loose horse is still in front and crosses the line first. I cheered! I thought I'd back the winner. Then me dad tells me it doesn't count because the jockey wasn't on it. Burst into tears. So that was it. I'd be shoveling coal and running to the shop, and then every Saturday I'd pick three horses out and me dad would put 3 5p doubles and a 5p treble on for me. I'd then watch Dickie Davis do the ITV7, chasing that first 40p on Andy Pandy. By the time I was 16, I didn't bother going to school. I just wanted to stand in the bookies all day. I didn't have a job, so I'd find the money any way I could. Paper round, petty crime. Then when I got a job, I'd do my wages in there too. My mother used to say I lived in that bookies. But she were wrong. I lived for the bookies. Then you meet a woman and you get serious. You're living together, you've got a mortgage, but you're always missing the bills because you've done it again. You're out of control. You've only gone to bet 20 quid, but that lost. So you run to the cash machine to try and win it back and lose that. Within an hour, you've made 3 trips to the bank and now you're really done. That's when the lying starts. Because now you've got to go home and tell her that you've blown the rent again. But you don't want to do that. You can't bring yourself to tell her. Not after the last time. So you borrow the money to cover it. But you get this idea that you can take the money you've borrowed and win it all back. And then you blow that as well. And now everything's twice as bad. And now you've really sinned because no one wants to lend you money anymore because they know what you're like. So you have to tell her. But she can't take it anymore and she keeps crying. But you can't walk past the bookies when the doors are open and you hear the commentary. She keeps crying because everyone's had enough, but you can't stop, you're out of control. And now you're crying because you've had enough, everybody's had enough, but you can't stop. Until you have to. My name's Glenn, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was on the 4th of April, 2008.
I noticed you've added a bit more to it.
Yep, I got the dates right this time.
Good. Good. Right. Shall we all declare ourselves before we get going? We've had you, Glenn. Clive.
My name's Clive and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was on the 29th of September.
My name's Adam and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was on the 27th of May.
My name's Paul and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was in 1985. There's been a new member since you were here last, Adam. This is Clive.
All right, Glenn's mentioned you.
All positive, I hope. What's your poison?
I'd bet on two spiders if they filmed it.
You're in the right place. How long?
Third meeting.
What did you lose it on?
Horses, dogs, virtual horses, virtual dogs, roulette, poker, golf.
The usuals.
Football, snooker, cricket, boxing, bingo, fruit machines, casino and two spiders. I've tried it all. About 3K a day for a few weeks.
Big stakes then?
Oh yeah. I had a £5,000 double at Cheltenham. Wichita lineman, Cato Starr, McCoy and Walsh. They both won. Whew. I got a thrill out of that one.
Do you know, Clive, I've never heard so much gambler speak in all my life. Tell him what you said when they arrested you.
I'll win it all back tomorrow.
I'll win it all back tomorrow. A classic deluded gambler.
Yeah.
I bleeding would have.
Oh, you're hitting every cliche in the Orange Book today, Clive.
Inability and an unwillingness to accept reality. The dream world of the gambler.
Thanks, Glenn. Prisons are full of folk like you, Clive. You'll soon find that out.
So, why are you here again?
If you came to every meeting, you'd know.
My solicitor reckons that if I came to rehab or whatever, I might get a lighter sentence.
For what?
I stole the money from work.
How much?
300K on the charge sheet. It was closer to 500.
Paul's writing the report for the court.
Tell him what happened, Clive.
Well, the guy who owned the business, after he closed it down, killed himself.
You know, we should pray for him.
How do you think they'll look at it?
I don't know.
How do you look at it?
Well, that's something you can think about while you're sewing your mailbags, isn't it? Now, is there any other business before we start? Right. Does anybody want to lead?
Go on then, Paul. Any topic?
You're leading.
Well, I was watching the news the other day, and it said that Lester Piggott had had a heart attack.
So what? He's given us enough.
It showed him winning some of his derbies and that Breeders' Cup winner he had. Then it was on my mind all day. Horses running down the rail.
What you're trying to say is that you felt tempted.
Aye, I'd been sent a temptation.
Most men get sent a woman. You got sent a commentary.
Do you have to make a joke out of everything? This is a serious subject tonight.
It's serious every Tuesday.
You don't attend every Tuesday.
I've got a life outside GA.
And what's that supposed to mean?
How many meetings do you attend per week?
As a compulsive gambler, I attend as many as I can.
At least four. Plus you're on the switchboard most afternoons.
It's the 12th commandment. Carry the message to others.
Surely talking about gambling all day would be more of a temptation than walking past a bookies with a door open.
I wouldn't go near a bookies or any gambling establishment as per the good book.
Have a day off, Glenn.
Listen, the Orange Book is the standard text in every GA room in the world. It has helped and continues to help millions of people every day. A gambling addiction is not a laughing matter.
Well, you've proven that.
Come on now, can we get back to the topic? Temptation, Glenn. You were tempted.
Yeah. So, every time it came into my head, I just kept saying to myself, just for today, I will not gamble. It worked. I saw off the demon. I was saved by the words of the Orange Book.
Well done, Glenn. Temptation is one of the main things that a recovering gambler has to deal with. I haven't had a bet for 25 years, and I still have to take it one day at a time. Has anybody else suffered from temptation? Clive?
I'm not tempted by anything. It's either yes or no.
Adam?
Yeah, I'm tempted right now, but it's not to gamble.
Is this Gamblers Anonymous?
Yeah, it is, old cock. Are you looking to join in?
Yeah.
Well, come in and sit down. You're welcome. Now, we only use first names here. That's why it's anonymous. So, have you got a name?
Rob.
Right. We meet here every Tuesday at 7 p.m, Rob. What normally happens is that we all declare ourselves and then someone leads with the topic and we discuss it and debate it. Sometimes somebody gives their therapy, but the first thing we ask new members to do is to fill in the questionnaire at the front of the Orange Book. Glenn, give him a book.
There you go.
Now, if you look in the front, there are 20 questions. If you just go through them for a few minutes, we'll just wrap up and we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Paul?
What?
Declaration?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All GA members who enter a meeting have to declare themselves, Rob. And by that we mean an acknowledgement by the attendee that they are a compulsive gambler and state what day we last had a bet on. So do you want to do that for us now?
My name's Glenn and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was on the 4th of April, 2008. My name's Rob.
My last bet was today.
Admit you're compulsive.
I don't know if I am.
They all say that, kid. Classic denial.
If you found yourself in this room, it's safe to say that you're compulsive, Rob. We know it's hard to say it, but it's the first stage on the way to sorting it out. And when you know you've got a problem, you can get out with it.
My name's Rob, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was today.
There you go, lad. Well done. Well done. Good on you.
The handbook tells us that compulsive gambling is an illness, progressive in its nature, which can never be cured but can be arrested. That's why we're here. We know it's difficult, but you've already made the effort to come here today, and that's the biggest step on the road back. Now that you've declared yourself, you are not a gambler anymore. You are a recovering gambler. Right, we'll come back to you. Just let you get on with your questions.
Okay.
Now, the book offers some good advice on the topic of temptation, and I concur with all of it. If you feel tempted, call someone. We've all got a phone list. That's what they're for. Help and support from fellow recovering gamblers.
That's why I called you, Paul.
Yes, Glenn. What would you do if someone called you, Clive, and said they were tempted for a bet?
What kind of bet?
Doesn't matter. Any bet.
Well, if it's an accumulator, I'd say don't bother, because that's just desperate. Same with the golf bet. But if it were a tip they'd been given, then I'd say, lend me a fiver and I'll have a go and all.
Oh, you've got a long way to go, Clive. What about you, Adam?
I'd ask them how much they're trying to win.
It doesn't matter. One bet will lead to another.
If they needed a tenner, I'd give it to them. Oh. That's a lot to some poor folk sometimes.
Well, Glenn had the right idea. Just remember the words, just for today, I will not gamble. Because this illness can only be stopped one day at a time, as we all know. Mm. Other ways to avoid temptation is don't associate with acquaintances who gamble. And the more obvious one, don't go in or near a gambling establishment.
Impossible.
Now, I've also noticed that there's a lot of TV advertising recently. Poker, horses, bingo. And it's been noted by GA that some advertising has been geared towards females, especially the bingo. GA expects the number of female problem gamblers to double in the next 2 years because of it.
Good. Could do with a bit of glamour in these meetings. Hey, I might pick one of them up. Nail them while they're vulnerable, eh? I love it.
They say it's twice as hard to quit if your partner's a compulsive gambler as well. And that's why we frown on GA members forming relationships within a group, Clive.
I don't want to marry her. I just want to...
Are you addicted to everything?
Shall we see how Rob's getting on? Have you done your questions?
Yeah.
Right. Do you want to go through the ones you've answered yes to?
Do you lose time from work due to gambling? Well, if I'm on a job and I have to nip out for some gear, I usually end up in bookies. Sometimes I don't go back till the next day.
Go on.
Do you borrow to finance your gambling? Well, off my mother. She's cashed in premium bonds, ISAs at one time or another, and Dendert's bank.
Ah, classic.
Well, that's six. Any others?
No.
Now, part of recovery is that we're honest with others, and in particular ourselves. Well, Rob, why don't you tell us about what's made you come to GA today? Now, you don't have to feel ashamed or guilty. We've all been there, and we've heard every sob story there is over the years, so we won't be shocked and we won't judge. All we ask is that you're honest with yourself and with the rest of the group.
Well, I've always gambled, if you know what I mean.
How old are you?
26.
Go on.
Well, I'm an electrician by trade. I learnt it from my dad, like. I suppose I started betting on football when I was a teenager. Always used to put a coupon on a Saturday. And that ripped really for a while. Then my dad died suddenly a couple of years ago, and I took over business. It's only small, got two others working for me. He left me a bit of money, and that's when it started, really.
The lying?
Gambling heavy.
And lying?
Go on.
I used some of it to get married and buy a house. Then I started getting into horses. It were exciting to start with, you know. Sometimes, if I'd put £200 on a winner... But when I lost a couple on trot, I'd try and win it back, get back to where I was, you know.
Chasing. Classic.
I ended up losing loads. I was doing it every day for a while. It got to a point where I couldn't pay others. I had to lay them off when I sold them. I blamed it on credit crunch and all. I've pushed overdraft to its limit. Bank won't give me any more. Took out a business loan. Lost that as well. I've maxed out 3 credit cards for thousands. I even took one out of my wife's name that she didn't know about and so I could get more money, and now that's maxed out. I haven't paid it out for a long time. I suppose worth it because I haven't paid mortgage for the last 7 months. I got a letter the other day saying that they're coming to evictors next week and value the house for auction. My wife doesn't know anything. I've hidden it all from her. I've always sorted finances. If she needs something, I give her the cash. I take care of the bills from the business. You know, she doesn't know about the mortgage, eviction, or anything.
That's a familiar story. I've heard every variation over the years. Have you got any kids?
I've got a daughter. She's 6 next week. We're having a party. Same date bailiffs are coming.
Oh, that'll be a nice surprise for her. No house.
Turd.
Today, I got cash for a job, and I was going to use it to get Ollie's birthday present, but I've blown it this afternoon. That's where I am.
Good on you. Well done. Well said, lad. Well said. All that, and you don't think you're a compulsive gambler?
It looks like you've got a lot of painful thinking to do. Debt is one of the easiest things to sort out. You can do that in one phone call. The hardest part is telling your partner, particularly if she doesn't know how bad it's got.
How can I turn debt around?
You have to accept that the money's gone.
It's just...
If you try and win it back, you'll end up in misery. We've all been there. Chasing. Going back to the questions, Rob. You've only answered yes to 6. We say in GA that at least 7 is an indicator of a problem gambler. With what you've told us, it's hard to believe that you haven't ticked any others. Shall we take another look? Is gambling making your home life unhappy?
Well, she's still saying because she doesn't know. Ollie's too young. It's just me.
I'd still say that was a yes, Paul, because it's going to be when she finds out.
Thanks, Glenn. All that debt and the lies to cover it up must be affecting your behaviour at home.
I've been sleeping on settee. I want to be next at dawn in case post comes early.
Ah, that's another yes. Do you lose sleep because of your gambling?
So what does your wife say about that?
I can't talk to her sometimes. I'm just telling her not to bother me while I'm thinking. Just tell her to leave me alone.
Ah, well, you've got a lot of things to think about. What gambling has done to your family should be part of that. There's no point in asking Clive this one. Have you ever felt remorse after gambling? Now that's a yes, or you wouldn't be here. Do you ever gamble to get money with which to pay debts or to otherwise solve financial difficulties?
I suppose so.
Well, you'd have to win an enormous amount to cover all that by the sounds of it.
Do you know the extent of your debts, in total?
No, I've not reckoned it all up.
Now that's something to do with your partner when you have your golden hour.
Why shouldn't want to go on? Sort it all out with me.
Well, could you blame her? She'd have to be very understanding, that's for sure. Only you know how much.
She'd take Holly.
Can she live with someone she doesn't trust?
How long you been with her, Rob?
Since school.
She'll stand by you.
Do you think?
Of course she will. You took those wedding vows, right? Richer, poorer.
Yeah.
Well then, you'll be all right.
Don't give him false hope, Adam.
Well, give him something, Glenn.
He's got the book.
Problem solved.
After a win, do you have a strong urge to return and win more?
No. When I've won what I've tried to win, I go home.
How much are you trying to win?
Just enough. Keep this debt off me back.
You'll never win enough. That's the illness. Continually believing that that big win will solve all our problems. It's immature. And that's the part of our personality we have to work on for the GA recovery program to succeed. Next question. Do you often gamble until your last pound is gone? Sounds like you've gambled beyond your last pound, Rob. So we'll take that as a yes. Have you sold anything to finance gambling?
No.
Does gambling make you careless of the welfare of your family? I can't believe you've not ticked this one, Rob, with the dire situation you're in. Don't you think that you've put your family in a terrible position with all your lies?
I didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, but you've still acted recklessly by gambling the mortgage and making your family homeless. That's not going to help the welfare, is it? So that's a very big yes. Have you ever committed or considered committing an illegal act to finance your gambling?
No.
Well, didn't you say that you'd applied for a credit card in your wife's name?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say that's a crime. Identity theft. You can go to prison for that. You're going to have to own up to it eventually.
What?
So that's another yes. We only have to look at Clive to see the dangers of turning to crime to fund a gambling addiction.
If it wasn't for Timmy Murphy, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, it's naive to put the blame elsewhere, Clive. You must accept responsibility for your actions in a mature way.
Well, he couldn't ride my...
Last question. Have you ever considered self-destruction as a result of your gambling?
Suicide?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's 13.
13 altogether. It's amazing how many yeses there are when you look at your illness, honestly. More than double what you first thought. We're not getting on at you. I've only done this to highlight what the book is saying about making a searching moral and personal inventory and bringing out a personality change, therefore arresting this destructive illness. Like I said, we've all been there. That's how we ended up here. Right. Does anyone else from the group want to share their experiences with Rob? Go ahead,
Glenn. In 1977, I was 10 years old.
What about something else?
Hey, we don't interrupt, Adam. That's part of the rules. You know that.
Do you want to tell Rob why you came to GA, Glenn?
Does she know about it? I mean, properly.
No.
If you want some advice, you'll go home tonight and you'll tell her everything. From your first bet to everything you've done because you've bet. You'll feel better straight away. The golden hour, we call it. Look, just be honest for the first time. You got a kid.
Yeah.
I've always wanted a family, always wanted kids to kick a ball about with on the park. But my ex-wife kept saying no, because she doesn't trust me, because of all the lies I've told through gambling. The money I've spent, the jobs I've lost. I'm not stable enough. It's not in a child's best interest for daddy to be a compulsive gambler and for mummy to always be worried about when the next bill's going to be paid, let alone the mortgage. She got to the point where she thought that every word that came out of my mouth was a lie. And she were right. I was a liar because I gambled. It was easier to keep lying rather than admit what was wrong with me. Your losses, they can't be counted with a pound sign. Wives, jobs, houses, respect, dignity. So, I came here to prove to my ex-wife that I could be a responsible dad and she might get pregnant. Oh, it's not my first time here. I lapsed about 18 months ago after splitting with my wife. I thought I knew best, but I didn't. I thought I was strong enough, but I wasn't. And now I've got the strength from a higher power, something outside of me. I nearly ended up dead, but I'm alive thanks to GA.
Thanks, Glenn. Now, he's highlighted a very important point, Rob, and that is the need to be completely honest. With yourself and with your partner. Tell her about the debt. Don't keep any secrets. Can someone else share their experience with Rob? Now, I know I'm going to regret this. But what about you, Clive?
What do you want to know?
Have you ever robbed Peter to pay Paul?
I've robbed Peter, Paul, Mary, Jesus and Joseph at one time or another.
So tell us what started you off.
Terry Ramsden. Do you remember back in the 80s? He was my hero.
Fish and chips?
Not quite.
The closest anyone came to breaking the bookies, he had Ladbrokes on his knees. He put £500,000 on Mr. Snugfit to win the 1986 Grand National at 8-1. Now that's a bet. He came fourth. He bought a horse off someone once, turned up with the money in a carrier bag riding a scooter, entered it into the Irish 2000 Guineas in 1984, and had £50,000 on a 20-1. It won. In 1983, he was at Air Races on a wet Wednesday. Last race was a bumper. No form to speak of for any of them. He put £1 million cash on a horse called Below Zero. £1 million. In cash. The largest bet ever struck at a British racecourse, even to this day. It won. Ramsden, man. He was the business. A gambler's gambler. How can you not admire him? I wanted to have large bets like that. I wanted to go into the bookies with thousands, put it on the counter, and then the other punters would look and say, "Who's that?" Well, there was no way I was ever going to earn that amount of money. Manual labour? That's like kryptonite to me. So when I got this job at the car place, started nicking it. £5,000 here, £10,000 there, straight down the bookies for the big ones. So what if I lost? It wasn't my money. Well, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. Terry Ramsden.
When you grow up?
He crashed and burned along with the markets, and then he ended up in prison for fraud. So you've got a lot in common.
£100 million he nicked. £100 bleeding million and he blew the lot. Do you know how long he got? 2 years. Suspended. Suspended? For £100 million and that just wants to send me down for three? Do you know how I ended up in prison? It wasn't fraud. They found a betting slip with £77,000 on it. Well, he hadn't declared it as an asset, see?
Declared it to who?
You mean whom?
The auditor on his bankruptcy.
The gambler's gambler ended up bankrupt. Now, what does that tell you?
He didn't get 3 years, I know that.
He was a stockbroker. Thatcher's poster boy. He had half the establishment on his books. How long did you think he was going to get? He's not from some forgotten pit village.
Oh, it's nothing to do with posh people, Adam. Clive killed somebody. That's why he's getting 3 years.
I didn't pull the trigger.
You pulled the trigger every time you stole for a bet.
How did he...
It was quick.
Under a train.
Horrible.
He didn't suffer.
Well, he must have been suffering to do it in the first place.
Where?
Swinton. Rotherham. Meadowhall. Sheffield. They found some of him in Derby, so I heard.
Did he have a valid ticket?
Oh, another joke. And in the poorest taste.
Still, 3 years for £500,000. Doesn't sound that long, really. I'll be done in 12 months and I've got something to come out to. Don't worry about that.
What's your defence?
It's their fault. They should have caught me earlier.
Oh. Nice.
Well, it's a good job they caught me when they did. I was going to burn the place down on Monday. Hide the evidence, like.
Oh, is there anything in the book that stuck with you, Clive?
There is one thing, actually.
Oh?
This bit here. We don't worry unduly about things that cannot be helped. That gets me through. You know, what's done is done.
Gambling has put you in prison and it's ruined your job prospects. What are you going to do when you get out?
Work? Listen, if someone stands over my grave and says, here lies a grafter, I've failed in life. Work for five to enjoy too? F that. I don't like those odds. Part-time me, 3.5 days max. At least I'm getting even money.
Who's going to employ you?
I'm going to be a stockbroker in the city.
Oh, in the city, eh? You've been convicted for fraud and it led to somebody's death.
So? I'll be perfect for that job. Hedge funds all day and the booze and the women at night. I love it. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be the new Terry Ramsden. I'm going to do all the bets he did.
You're going to put £1 million on a horse.
These banks have got quadrillions. They won't miss a lowly million. Anyway, I'm a taxpayer. I'm just taking it back. I'm going to buy a horse, a scooter.
The horse that rides a scooter?
Yeah.
Oh, the most clear-cut example of gambler speak I've ever heard. A compulsive gambler seems to have a strong inner urge to be a big shot. That's immaturity. And that's you, Clive. You're about to go away for fraud and you're already talking about the next one.
I won't go to prison next time.
Oh, you got caught for this one. They'll catch you for a bigger one.
They don't send bankers to jail. Not in England, anyway.
You got that right. They give them bonuses.
What did you think GA was going to be like, Clive?
Well, I thought we'd be sitting around talking about all the bets we'd had, near misses and that. War stories!
GA is where chronic gamblers come for support, not to talk about bad luck, if there is such a thing.
Oh, there is.
Only in the mind of a gambler. And until you realise that, you will not beat it. I had my first bet in 1967. The Foinaven National. And I was in debt every day until 1997. That's 30 years of misery. I couldn't and I wouldn't admit that I had a problem. I'm a compulsive gambler and I can never change that. I take it one day at a time and I do know the destructive power of this addiction. My kids and unfortunately my family don't speak to me to this day. But by bringing a gradual personality change from within, I will beat it. And maybe my family will see that.
Step 10, Paul. Step 10.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks. Does that help you, Rob? Now you've heard Clive's therapy.
What?
Well, knowing that the illness can lead to crime.
Well, I don't know. It's my debt that I've got.
Oh, we get lots of criminals through here, you know, not just Clive. I've been the GA's prison liaison officer for a few years now, and I do regular prison visits. I'll be visiting Clive.
Cheers.
Would you like to get your therapy, Adam? And then we'll all have a better idea of where you're coming from.
Look, I'm like everyone else, OK? Gambling since a youth. And yeah, I've chased and all that.
Well, what started you off? And what brought you here? Bearing in mind the honesty policy.
Being poor. My dad worked at the pit, except he didn't like that night shift very much. He never went back after the strike. Always hungry, no food in. So if we could get 50p together, I'd soon have a bet with it than buy a loaf of bread. I know you're going to quote from the book, but what's the point in buying a loaf of bread? We didn't have anything to put in it or on it. If you could turn that 50p into £1.50, then you could get a few potatoes and a bit of margarine for some chip sandwiches. I used to bet everything because 50p was all I had. Yeah, I've gone days without food. Not because I gambled, because my father's 30 quid a week gyro couldn't feed three people for 7 days. That's what started me off. Abject poverty and starvation.
Couldn't he have gone back to work?
Where? Any idea what it's like round here in the 80s?
The book might look on that as escapism. Go on, you obviously don't need a chip sandwich now, so what brought you here?
I have a desire to stop gambling.
Why?
It's expensive. I've lost a lot of money.
What else have you lost?
Oh, you mean like dignity? I lost that with some tattooed housewife around the back of the zone one Friday night. She didn't even have teeth.
What Glenn means is, was there a specific incident that brought you to GA?
Just gradual.
It's my experience, Adam, that a GA member generally loses at least one, two or all three of the following. House, career, woman.
House? I've never earned enough to own one.
What about career?
I've lost plenty of jobs, but never a career.
Woman?
I'm not with anyone.
Right again, Paul.
Now, you know we try not to fold our arms in these meetings, Adam. That's a defensive gesture, and our policy is total honesty and acceptance of our sins.
So it was a woman, then?
I was in a relationship a few years back. Not married, but close enough. We split up, and I went wild for a bit.
Did you gamble while you were with her?
Of course I did. It wasn't a problem.
Wasn't it?
It was just spare cash.
Can't have been.
I had no reason to gamble like that.
The illness is the reason. Nothing else.
I haven't got an illness. I've got a desire to stop gambling.
And it led to the end of this relationship then? Why?
It didn't lead to the end of the relationship.
What did?
She met someone else.
Who didn't gamble?
You gambled while you were with this woman. Was she aware?
She knew I liked to bet.
I know she did.
How did it become expensive?
You wouldn't understand.
Try us.
I gambled because I loved her. I said you wouldn't understand.
Look, explain it to us.
I didn't want her to think she'd got with a bum.
Is that what you really thought?
Yes.
What brought it on top?
She left me.
And it wasn't because of your gambling?
No.
No?
No!
Denial.
So why come to GA?
I bumped into her a couple of years ago. I was a bum.
So what? She's with someone else?
One day she won't be.
And?
Well, the next time she sees me, I'll be...
What?
What started your gambling might have been environment. What kept you gambling was emotional. The illness. You were trying to be a big shot.
Aye, immature.
I was trapped into it. It's nature.
Trapped?
Yes.
Do you think you're blaming others for things that you've caused?
Look, all animals have some kind of mating ritual. A way of attracting a female. They display something or fight another male. What they're saying is, I'm a big shot. Come and mate with me. I'm the alpha male, and it works, because the ones who don't do that die. That's evolution. Nature. Survival of the big shot.
You're quoting Charles Darwin to explain away a gambling addiction, Adam. And that's denial. A very big denial.
Everything's a gamble. Life is a gamble. Getting out of bed in the morning, crossing the road. A man cannot exist without risk. It's in his nature.
Then what if you don't believe in evolution?
All right, God's never wrong, right? Never makes a mistake. He's infallible. Created everything for a reason. Then he created me to be a gambler for a reason. Because if he didn't, then that means he's made a mistake. And that's not possible.
So either way, it's somebody else's fault, eh? That's very convenient for you, Adam, isn't it? That way, you never have to admit that you caused a downfall through your own reckless and immature behaviour. Page 25 of the book. Definition of a mature person. We accept the responsibility for our own acts. Well, that's obviously something that you're unwilling to do, isn't it? Until we have enough and we want to stop, then we will continue to blame everything and everyone but ourselves. I lost a lot of money when I was gambling. But it was me who gambled it. It was me who continued to chase my losses. And it was me who realised I was a compulsive gambler and I needed help. Until you can say those words, you will live in misery. Can you say that, Rob? Can you say that you've caused all your own problems?
I suppose so.
Well, you have.
You have to tell your wife everything, tonight. Otherwise, your lies will continue and they'll get worse. GA can only help people who want to help themselves. If you come next week and you haven't told her, then you are still hiding your lies.
Is there any way that I can stop them taking the house?
Admit you're a gambling addict.
And then what?
Tell your wife.
What if I can't?
What are you prepared to do to quit gambling?
Anything.
Then being honest and unselfish isn't hard, is it? You must be honest with your family. Once you've done that, sorting out the debt's the easy part.
Who do I see?
Whoever you owe.
And what do I say?
The truth.
I can't.
When in the grip of this illness, we create mountains of apparently insoluble problems. You can sort all that out in one phone call.
I haven't got any credit.
Look, you'll have more money now you've stopped gambling.
I can't go on my own.
Look, you've got us.
No, he is stuffed.
Hey.
Just remember, you're a recovering gambler now.
You are not alone.
Your inability to take anything serious will be your downfall, Clive. Okay, we're going to have to wrap this meeting up early tonight. They've got the church in soon for a beetle drive.
Oh, hey, might hang around and pull me a spinster.
Would you?
I'll do anyone who's rich enough. She might die and leave it all to me.
Grave robber.
Okay, can we have a whip round for the room money? It's only £1 each. Nothing compared to what we've gambled.
Heads or tails?
Clive.
All right. It was heads.
We have a saying in GA, Rob. Meetings make it. So make sure you come next week. You can phone one of us if you're tempted. You've got the sheet. Okay, we'll call it a day on that. Shall we close the meeting? We close each meeting with a serenity prayer. It's printed on the back of your orange book.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
Richard Pittman over that one on Crispin. What a fantastic ride he's having. I can't remember a horse so far ahead in the Grand National at this stage. Jumping that second was Red Rom. Then Spanish Steps on the outside of Rouge Autumn. Great Noise made a mistake there. But coming to the next, and Crisp is over that one. Safely over the one before Beaches from Red Rom. Then Spanish Steps and Tarquin Bid. Rouge Autumn and Hurricane Rock. Then Black Secret and Great Noise.
And... there can be gits in there sometimes. They say they're not supposed to judge, but saying a prayer at the end of the meeting is just stupid. They've got no idea about real life. All they know is that little orange book. It's none of their business, any of it. You've got to be careful what you tell them in there. Do you really want them knowing your personal business? Just be careful how much you say. You've seen what they do, turning it around on you. It's all your fault. Paul hasn't had a bet in 25 years. Does he really know what debt is today or how to sort it out? Do it your own way. You don't have to do it the way they tell you. What is rock bottom anyway? Different for everybody.
Somebody's had 4,000 on a 92 winning yesterday. Got up by a short head. I've never backed a winning at Wolverhampton. Never. They ought to dig that place up. Must be a poor tournament if Paul Laurie's on the leaderboard. I'll tell you what's crap about a golf bet. These tournaments have 150 odd players in them, right? And the bookies only pay first five.
What paper is that?
Racing Post.
Jesus Christ, don't let them see you reading that.
Why?
Well, firstly, you're in a GA room, where chronic compulsive gamblers come to recover. And secondly, according to them, that's written by the devil.
Michael Scave?
Not quite.
What's up with that Glenn, the miserable git?
He's got too much time on his hands.
And Paul? Never had a bet since 1985. I bet you can remember when you still had to pay tax on your slips.
Probably.
10% on all bets, and then after years of that, they reduced it to 9. What a waste of time. You had to piss about with all the loose change then. What's 9% of a 10-pence Yankee? Whoever sorted that out never set foot in the bookies.
Politicians. The elite. They don't have to gamble their way out of the shit like the rest of us.
Paul Sullivan's 93 today.
Is he? I thought he was dead.
I always wanted to do the commentary on a race.
Derby?
Nobody's had a bet in the Derby for years. It's the most overrated horse race there is. The Grand National. Now that's a race. That's the one Terry wanted to win.
Yeah.
Have you seen the 73 National?
73. Wasn't that Rummy's first?
Remember Crisp? Australian 2-mile chaser? They put 12 stone on its back and sent it around 4.5 miles and 30 fences of Aintree. Everyone said it couldn't do 2 circuits. They set off and Chris went to the front. It was so far clear you couldn't see the second horse. It stayed there all the way until the line. Broke the course record by 19 seconds that day. Problem was, Red Run broke it by 19.1. I still have watched that race on YouTube. I still hope that one day Chris will hang on in the running. Richard Pittman, poor bloke. He was short-headed for the Gold Cup in the same year when he was looking like the winner. All that way to give up on the line.
Maybe he had no choice.
I don't know.
Why did you gamble, Clive?
I don't know. Because I could.
As good a reason as any, I suppose.
No wife, no kids, rented house, company car. It's easy, really.
No other family?
It's just me and my gang. Well, there's my mother, but she's not talking to me since she's found me in with her cash card. I haven't told her about all this, though.
What's she going to say when she didn't see you for 12 months?
She won't notice. Does anybody else drink this other than Glenn?
No.
That'll surprise him.
What if someone else wants one?
It's the coffee pot lottery. Everything's a gamble, you said.
What's that? Map of Africa?
Oh, no.
All right, Rob.
I know what rock bottom is now.
Yeah?
I hadn't told her.
Oh.
I sold my van and my tools for 2.5 grand.
When?
Today.
Don't you need that for work?
I haven't been to work. Told her we got stolen while I got some chips at dinner time.
Insurance job, then?
Insurance ran out a couple of months ago. Couldn't keep up direct debit.
Oh, dear.
How many insurance I've got left on my life?
Huh?
How are we going to use it to help mortgage arrears?
Good.
I blew it. All 2.5 grand. I've blown a lot.
Chasing.
I feel empty.
I know.
They're coming tomorrow to take the house. I keep saying that I'll stop when I win. I'll stop at a winner. But you never do. Sometimes I think it'd be great to just disappear. Vanish. Pack a bag and go.
Where to?
Yesterday.
Take me to 2002 while you're at it.
I'm finished now. I know I am.
Gambling?
Everything.
They are going to have a field day with you.
I'm not telling them.
I don't blame you. They'll twist that around, that's for sure.
What shall I say if they ask me?
Just play the yes-no game.
I can't be doing with it. I need to think.
What about?
My next lie. What would you do?
If I was you?
Yeah.
About everything?
The house. About telling her. What excuse can I use?
It's going to have to be a pretty good one.
I know.
Look, so they're coming to take the house at 12 and she doesn't know.
And it's Holly's birthday party.
And you don't want to tell her the truth?
No.
So you need a lie to cover all that?
Yeah.
You probably used all the best ones already.
Most of them.
Is one going to be enough?
No.
It's probably too late for the lies then.
Tell her.
Is there another way?
It'd kill her.
Doesn't matter what you say, that house is gone.
I know.
Do you want to tell her? Or the bailiffs?
All right, everyone.
All right.
Rob, you've come back to a second meeting. Now that's good.
2 weeks on the trot, Adam.
I was bored.
Ah, boredom can lead to temptation, so you've done the right thing coming here, as per the book.
Coincidence.
No such thing.
You had an accident, Clive?
Spilled some water, it's all right.
Shall we declare ourselves, then? My name's Paul, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was in 1985.
My name's Glenn, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was the 4th of April, 2008.
My name's Adam, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was on the 27th of May.
My name's Clive, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was on the 30th of October.
My name's Rob, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was the 23rd of October.
Okay, is there any other business?
Hang on, 30th of October?
That's right.
So you've lapsed today?
Yeah.
He's lapsed, Paul.
I heard.
Why?
I've got a date for my trial.
Oh, when is it?
Thursday.
Huh, so the bad news sent you to the bookies, huh?
Well, I figured if I'm going to jail for 3 years, then what's the point? I'll have one last blowout.
If you were feeling tempted, Clive, you should have attended a meeting or called one of us.
I wasn't tempted. I just wanted a bet.
Oh, that's very immature.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
£500,000.
Oh, what's this going to look like on your court report, Clive? You've lapsed very easily without much of a fight.
I'm screwed anyway. They've got me by the balls.
I'm going to start at the beginning with you, Clive. Do you think that gambling has been a problem for you?
Losing has been the problem for me. Secunditis today.
Can I ask you a question, Clive?
I suppose so.
How did you feel when you heard that your old boss had killed himself?
Pretty much okay, actually.
You didn't feel guilt, remorse, sorrow?
Well, when I heard it could double my sentence, I was gutted.
So your only thoughts were for yourself?
If he's dead, there's nothing I can do about it.
You could have done something about it in the first place. Don't take all his money and gamble it.
It's their fault they shouldn't have trusted me.
Oh, you made them trust you with your lies. They didn't know any better. They didn't know you're a degenerate gambler.
I'm not.
So what are you then?
Just unlucky, that's all. I'll win it all back.
Oh, tomorrow. Yeah, if ever there was a case of denial.
You got that right, Paul.
So did you lie to get the job?
Oh, I beefed up my CV a bit, but that's normal.
Just how much did you beef up?
Told them I was an accountant.
And are you?
I haven't been to college.
Clearly not.
So you're already pretending to be somebody you're not when you got the job.
Everyone's pretending. Nobody's who they say they are. We're all lying about something.
I've made the effort to erase those traits from my personality as per the GA programme. So no, not everybody is lying about something.
Hang on a minute. It's incurable according to that book, isn't it?
Yes.
So why are you giving this bloke an hard time because he's lapsed, eh? I mean, that's what he's supposed to do. He's a compulsive gambler.
Are you taking this seriously? Do you ever actually read the book?
I'm reading you loud and clear.
Hey. Can we get back on topic? Make your point, Adam.
I've had good and bad relationships, but I'm not giving up women.
Meaning?
Sometimes people have got to keep learning their lesson.
Coming to GA and taking part in the recovering programme means that you've learned your lesson once and for all. There is no need to gamble again.
Just like that.
One day at a time.
Women are a bit different to gambling.
I've lost more because of women than any bet I've ever had, but it doesn't put me off chasing them. You know why?
Go on.
Instinct. It's in our nature to chase women, and it's in Clive's nature to have a bet.
Oh, this is a new form of gambler speak I'm hearing. You're blaming science again for your problems. A gambler is a human being. He has a conscience, only just, and free will, and until he admits that he's caused his own problems, then the disease will have him in its grip. Do you think you'll have to keep learning your lesson after being in prison?
I don't know.
Well, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I'll be fishing off the end of my boat with all the money I've made in the city.
I'll tell you where you'll be in 5 years if you don't combat this illness. In Wakefield prison, with all the hard nuts too scared to take a shower because you've messed it all up again.
I ain't going to prison. They won't see me on the last day of that trial if it's not going my way. I'm pissing off.
Oh, running away from your problems won't solve them. It'll just make them worse.
I don't give a toss. I'd rather be on a beach in the sun with problems than getting my arse felt in some prison shower without them.
You will have to go to prison.
I don't feel like I've committed a crime.
Stealing money?
It wasn't easy. I always have to think up new ways of hiding the paper trail. Invention. You know, aptitude. What I did took a lot of effort. I kept it up for 2 years. I mean, come on. That's skill.
We'll have to put all this in the report for the courts.
Or what?
Well, you've shown no desire to stop gambling or any remorse for your actions. The judge will have to be told.
Say what you like, I won't be there.
Oh, they'll catch up with you.
No way. I'm like Usain Bolt.
Shoo! Well, I'll tell them tonight.
You'd do that, wouldn't you?
You must attend that trial, Clive.
Whatever.
We must accept the consequences of our actions.
You're just jealous because you wish you'd done what I'd done.
Oh, how can anybody be jealous of what you've done?
I've lived the life of a gambler.
You're living the lie of a gambler. You killed somebody, Clive.
He killed himself.
Because you're a compulsive gambler. That's the disease. You're trying to blame others for something you've caused.
I didn't cause shit. He must have been weak if he couldn't take those losses.
But they weren't his losses. The only gambling he did was taking you on. And he paid for it with his life. And you'll pay with yours if you don't admit to your illness.
Illness? What the f... illness? Well, I feel pretty normal, you know. And this, the cops? An occupational hazard, right? I'll tell you this. I'll always land on my feet, and I always have. Do you know why? Because I'm too good. And prison won't make a lick of difference, and I don't care who dies along the way, as long as it isn't me. As long as there's air in my lungs, I will never stop.
You'll land on your face because you're ill and you can't see it.
Oh, F this, I'm off to the dogs. Anyone coming? First round's on me.
Nobody's coming, Clive.
Got a tip in the seventh.
We are not interested.
Suit yourself.
Good luck, Clive.
I won't need it.
Well, that just shows you what happens when a compulsive gambler won't acknowledge the problem. He'll have plenty of time to think about his behaviour while he's peering through the bars of his cell.
Oh, no, he's taking the room, Higher Money.
How much?
All of it.
He's going to put it on that tip.
He can only end up in pain.
Oh, that's bitter.
Shall we carry on? Have you been tempted during the past week?
No.
No?
No.
You haven't been tempted to chase it at all?
No.
You haven't borrowed anything?
No.
Or sold anything?
No.
Now that's good. The first 7 days are the worst. Have you been reading your orange book?
Yeah.
Have you looked at the 12 steps?
What?
The 12 steps of the recovery programme.
Yeah.
You've admitted that you're powerless over the gambling and that your life has become unmanageable?
It has.
And you've admitted to another human being the exact nature of your wrongs?
Yeah.
Who was it?
My male wife.
Right, do you want to share that experience with the group?
What?
You've told your wife the nature of your wrongs?
My wife?
Yes.
I love her. We've been together since school. She's always there, always has been. She's great with Holly. I mean, she loves her to bits, we all do. It were great when she were born. Moved to this great house, family home. We planned it all, wedding, kids, rest of our lives together in that house. She's really happy, you can see that. Her face drained, it turned into that painting, you know. She cried, quietly to start with, and then louder, until she were full on bawling and shaking. I tried, she just shoved me away, she were mad. Just started punching me, kicking me. She said I were a stupid idiot for ruining everything. A stupid idiot.
So you've made a searching and fearless moral and financial inventory of yourself?
Yeah.
And what did you find?
What do you mean?
After your inventory, what did you learn about yourself? Now, share it with the group.
I found that I lied a lot.
Go on.
I'm always lying. I lie all the time. Every time I see her, it's a lie. When I walk through the door, I'm lying. I tell her about work, I'm lying. It's all lies. Me whole world, me whole life's a lie. I've deceived my wife and my family. I've ruined a life because I'm a stupid idiot. I've ruined and I've ruined and I've ruined and I've messed it all up because I'm a stupid idiot. It's a mess.
It usually is. What else?
It was me that did it. I ruined it all. I messed it all up. It was just me. The stupid idiot.
We cannot change the past, only build on the future.
What's that mean?
You have to accept that the money is gone.
I know it has.
So, look forward to a gambling-free future.
A wife and our free future?
Self-pity is the first thing to be avoided when changing our personality. We must strive for humility.
So, you're in a very dark place at the moment because of the gambling. It's done you a lot of damage, and it's turned you into a liar and a thief.
I haven't nicked anything.
You took a credit card out in your wife's name.
She'll cover me for that.
Will she?
It's still an illegal act as a consequence of your illness.
I wasn't trying.
A gambler makes excuses.
No,
you
I would...
You could end up with Clive.
In jail?
Without a doubt.
Don't scare the shit out of the poor kid, for God's sake.
You can't go easy on this illness.
Just go easy on him.
A mature person recognises that they are in control of their actions and will have to deal with any and all consequences. You can't turn that into an equation.
Meaning?
You've got a lot of anger, Adam. Why? Who are you mad at? Who was this woman?
What woman?
She met a rich man.
It was years ago.
Couldn't she trust you?
It's none of your business.
It's obviously something that you did, Adam. But seems you're having trouble admitting that to yourself.
What you don't know about me, you could fit in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, I know you're in denial.
This isn't about me.
So you won't admit it?
What are you on about?
What the book says about you.
It doesn't say anything about me.
Glenn's right, Adam. You're displaying all the hallmarks of classic denial.
Denial about what?
Your addiction and its consequences.
With all due respect in that, Paul, but you gamble every day.
I most certainly do not.
You used to work down the pit, didn't you?
27 years till Maggie closed them all.
So, you got a pit pension?
Yes, I do.
And sometimes its value goes up, sometimes it goes down, right? I know it does because my father's got one.
So?
Why?
Why have I got a pension?
Why does the value change?
I've no idea.
Someone takes all that money from your pension fund and they go down the stock market and then they gamble it, except they're not having 3 tenner doubles and a tenner treble, tens of millions of pounds at a time. And then if they make something, they give it to you and your pension goes up. So in reality, you're living off the proceeds of gambling, and you have been for years.
That's different.
How is it?
Because they know what they're doing. They're financial experts. A compulsive gambler doesn't. He's got a disease.
Financial experts? There's no such thing. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a credit crunch on. Nip down to Woolworths if you don't believe me and get some pick and mix.
All I did was pay into a pension. I got my wage slip and it was gone. I'd no idea what they did with it. All I knew was that I'd get it back when I retire.
Classic denial.
It is not denial, it's the facts.
You'll have to change your declaration.
I'm not changing anything. I have not knowingly gambled.
What's it say in the book?
The book doesn't cover this.
When I took out that pension, it was impossible to know I was to become a problem gambler. In those days, it was considered a good thing to do to put something away for your old age. And it was normal.
So gambling is normal.
No, it isn't. It's abnormal.
And abnormal behaviour in an abnormal environment is a normal response. Look at where we're born. Shitholes and slums with fuck all hope. Who wouldn't want to escape, eh? Because working for minimum wage isn't going to get us anywhere. Who wouldn't turn to gambling when you've got fuck all anyway? The shit we have to go through. You know, when I was a kid, there were 8 bookies in this village. 8. Can you believe that? There was one right next to the school. In the afternoons, all you could hear was the commentaries from the tannoy drifting into the classroom. What a start to your education, eh? Now tell me, Paul, do you think there's a GA room somewhere full of middle-class folk who've had every opportunity in life? Well, there isn't. They don't have to escape like us.
Compulsive gambling is a disease that can afflict anyone regardless.
Gambling's not a disease, Paul.
The book states quite clearly that a gambling addiction is a disease, Adam.
A drug addiction is a disease. You need it. You have a dependency. You're ill without it. Same with the booze. You can go to the doctor and get a fucking sick note or whatever, right? Now, what would the doctor say to me if I wanted 2 weeks off because I needed to have a bet? He'd tell me it was bullshit, that's what.
There's always a way out with you. Charles Darwin, Ken Loach, Terry Ramsden, but never just Adam. You declared yourself. You said, my name is Adam and I am a compulsive gambler. But I don't think you're listening to it when you say it. You have got a gambling problem. That's why you're here. For a relationship, you say. Whatever you did was bad enough to end one. It wasn't Charles or Ken or Terry. It was Adam on his own, of his own free will. And he shouldn't blame anybody else, because that is denial and that's immature. You seem to think that nothing in this book is true, that it doesn't work. Well, to me and Glenn and millions like us, it is true. We do practice it, and it's not blind faith. We see the good it does. Not only in ourselves, but in our families and friends, because we've taken that moral and searching inventory of ourselves and we've admitted that we are human beings who make mistakes. And we accept the consequences of those mistakes and we never complain. We meet emergencies with poise. We replace resentment with forgiveness and jealousy with trust, and we are honest with ourselves. When you admit you're wrong, it means you've caused your own downfall. And that is something that you obviously don't want to face. And if normal is gambling everything I owned, hurting the people I supposedly loved to the point where they still won't talk to me, then you have a lot to deal with, Adam.
Paul, the church.
We'll have to call it a day on that.
Oh, so early.
The church are in soon for the bingo.
Even the church are gambling.
Shall we say the prayer?
Oot up.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference. Honestly, can't you try that
one? I told you they'd turn it all around. Doesn't matter. It's always your fault.
I know.
You going to tell her tonight?
I can't even look her in the face.
No way of raising the money.
Got nothing left to sell.
The house is still yours until noon.
Still have to tell her.
Put in a letter.
It'll take too long.
Keep it short. We are fucked. I'm sorry. Look, just tell her the truth. Be honest with her. Tell her everything. Get it all out. You'll feel better. Tell her you've been coming here if it helps.
I can't put all this on her.
She might stand by you.
They'll still take the house.
The social will rehouse you.
But we'll still have the debt.
Debts can be repaid.
I can't put my family on the street.
They won't be on the street.
We'll still lose the house. There's still my life insurance.
What do you mean?
I could kill myself.
Insurance won't pay out on a suicide.
I'll make it look like an accident.
That's not the way.
The house is still mine until noon. If I die in possession, they have to pay it.
Not if it's a suicide.
Find someone to kill me.
What?
I need to die before they come.
I don't think...
You do it.
What?
You kill me.
You're not...
You kill me now and I'll give you half.
Half of what?
The payout, come on. Squeeze.
Rob, you're not thinking
just
straight.
Just squeeze.
I can't.
Just kill me, just do
I'm
it.
I'm not going to kill you.
I don't deserve to live anyway, well, come on.
You're not.
Just squeeze and put
this
me out of my misery.
Way.
It's the only way, so
Rob,
just kill me, all right?
Man.
Squeeze. Will you just squeeze, for God's sake, just squeeze. I don't want to live. I don't deserve to live. You stupid idiot. It's all me. It's all me, you stupid idiot.
And that's the easy way out. You've just got to face your problems.
You sound like Dan.
They're right on this one.
Dan's right, don't you see? It's all I've got left that's worth anything.
What about your daughter? How do you want her to grow up? With this?
Suze will take care of her.
We'll take care of Suze. I'll tell you this. Everything I've lost over the years, money, nothing hurts. Hurts more than losing her. I wish I'd told her the truth sooner, before it was too late. She met someone with money, more than a tenner anyway. I'll say this, keep all the money I lost, just give me her back, you know? Is this how you want Suze to think of you years from now? Some stupid idiot who blew it all and then blew his life. She's holding hands with someone else and you're just a dirty memory. Well, ever you're alive, you've always got a chance to come back. You're a long way behind now, but one day you won't be. You can change how she'll think of you. But you've got to be around to do it.
Too far behind.
They said that about Red Rum running to the second last behind Crisp.
What happened?
Crisp lost.
How?
Gave in. You got anything for Ollie's birthday?
Now, a skin potless. Broken.
Look, there's 40 quid there. Get her something, right?
Yeah.
Do you want me to come with you?
No. I've got to do this on my own.
Seen this?
Aye, we know Clive got 6 years.
Look, Clive, you know what I'm talking about. That.
Do you want to declare yourself, please?
Come on, Paul.
All members upon entering a GA meeting must declare themselves. Now, you know that.
My name's Adam and I'm a compulsive gambler. Blah, blah.
And when was the last time you had a bet?
27th of May.
Part of the recovery process, and in particular what happens in these meetings, is based on honesty. We have to be honest with ourselves and with others if we're ever going to beat this addiction. Now, do you agree with that in principle?
Yes.
Well, you've just declared that your last bet was on the 27th of May.
It was.
So you weren't in Ladbrokes on Earl Street at lunchtime?
I was on my lunch and I needed a piss, so...
Oh, Adam, I already know what you're going to say. That's the disease. We're all world-class liars. The gambler speak that I've heard over the years.
I haven't had a bet.
Glenn?
I saw you walking into the bookies.
Did you see me placing a bet?
You were in Ladbrokes.
Did you see me placing a bet?
No.
Then what the fuck are you talking about?
As part of the GA programme, we encourage total abstinence, Adam. That means not even a toss of a coin, a turn of a card, and definitely not spending time in Ladbrokes or any gambler's establishment. The temptation is simply too much for a chronic gambler, and it can only lead to a lapse, and ultimately, as you have just proven, more lies.
So what are you saying? So what?
You've lied, and you've deceived everybody, Adam. And for that reason... We no longer recognise you as a member of this group.
Aye.
Really? Talk about denial. You take the biscuit. I wonder how many others have walked out of here under a bleeding train.
That's the disease, Adam. You're unable to accept criticism because you won't admit you've got an emotional problem with gambling.
This has got nothing to do with me.
It has got everything to do with you. You're a gambler. So was Clive, and so was Rob.
So you know he's dead then? The body of a 20-year-old local man was discovered on railway lines between Rotherham and Meadowhall. It is believed to be that of Rob Daniels, missing since Tuesday evening. His death has been treated as an accident. I said go easy on him.
Hey, how do we know it's him? This is Gambler's Anonymous.
His picture's in the paper.
It was an accident?
He killed himself.
It doesn't say that in the paper.
He killed himself, made it look like an accident, so the insurance took care of the mortgage.
It were too late for that.
It was still his property till 12 o'clock. He got hit by the 11:59. Don't tell me it was an accident. He found a way to clear those debts.
And in the most selfish way possible. The typical trait of a compulsive gambler.
Pity's sake, a man's died and you still want to kick him.
There is no room for self-pity in recovery.
And that is in the book.
Rob wasn't the first. And he won't be the last. Now, can we get on with this meeting?
So, Clive got 6 years, did he? Must have been some report you wrote, Paul. He's only expecting 3.
Glenn wrote it.
You know, people come here for help and what do they get? A bunch of quotes from a little orange book and a bunch of bullshit from you two. Fuck you and fuck that book.
Classic denial.
Yeah.
Do you want to lead?
Aye.
In 1977, I was 10 year old. Every year in our house, when I was a kid, the Grand National was an event to rival Christmas. We'd get up at the crack of dawn and wait for me dad to come back from the paper shop so we could see all the runners. There was a map of the course.
Continue as the leader comes to Beecher's book for the second time, and Andy Pan is down, Andy Pan is down at Beecher's, Nerio is also down at Beecher's, and Brown Admiral's gone at Beecher's as well, but the rest of the field are over, and coming to the 23rd fence, it's now Red Rum disputing it with Waterbuck just behind these.
Stop at a Winner was written by Justin Scott and starred Jonathan Taylor as Glenn, Tim Rutherford as Paul, Justin Scott as Clive, Gareth Smedley as Rob, and Wes Lancaster as Adam. It was produced and edited by Peter Beeston and directed by Paul Kenny. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons agreement. For more information, visit cornucopia-radio.co.uk.